Wisconsin Eye is at Riverside Park in Beloit. We are here, it's a beautiful day, there's water, there's children. Why are we here? Because we need to talk to Tourism Secretary Stephanie Klett. Hi!
Steve, I'm so glad you're in Beloit.
Your home turf, right?
At last.
At last.
Born and raised here, still live here, moved a whole mile from my parents' home.
Well, you got us here, and we're glad because it's a beautiful day. I want to talk about the new report on tourism in 2015.
Yes.
Because let me get the number right. Tourism in 2015, $19.3 billion industry.
Yes.
First time we're over 19?
Yes.
Well, talk to me about the growth.
You bet. In my last 5 years, we're up $4.5 billion. So it's an increase of 30%. This last year, we were up another $800 million. And it's a whole bunch of factors coming into play. But here's the thing with tourism. A lot of people take it for granted.
Yep.
Like, oh, well, that's so nice. Tourism in Wisconsin. Of course, we have lovely things. But it's an economic powerhouse. It's a, you know, multi-billion dollar industry. You can't export it. It's here to stay as long as we take care of our resources. And it employs 193,000 people full time.
8% of Wisconsin's workforce works in the tourism industry. But what struck me is the Federal Reserve said Wisconsin had a 2015 gross domestic product of $305 billion. 19.3 is 6.3% of that. So you, tourism is like 1/16 of Wisconsin's total economy. I agree, people don't understand that. What are the drivers of your huge increase that you've seen over 5 years?
Well, it's a combination of many things. One, you know, our economy is improving. Gas prices are low. So there's all of those things that are involved. But what we like to think is that the money we're given to market, and our full budget is about $15 million, $12.5 million we have to market. We are spending every penny of that money to market this state in ways it has never been marketed. And what I mean is, it's not just traditional television, although that's important. It's not just traditional radio and social and digital. We're doing out-of-home advertising that is strikingly different than our competitors.
Out-of-home advertising?
Yes.
Explain.
Okay, out-of-home is anything that isn't the traditional media.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we just won a National Obie Award for, this is the award, it's like the Oscar for out-of-home advertising. We went to downtown Chicago and took their 6 busiest bus stops, and we wrapped them to make them look like a Northwoods cabin in Wisconsin, called it Camp Wisconsin. So while people were waiting for the bus, they could press different buttons and play a Camp Wisconsin song, learn what's happening in Wisconsin that week, take pictures, because it was this visual thing that you're walking by going, what in the world is this?
Right.
But my favorite that we won the Obie for is we took their double-decker red bus. You know their architectural tour in downtown Chicago?
Yes.
Thousands of people take it. Well, we took that bus and we wrapped it in a Camp Wisconsin motif. So when that bus pulled up, it literally said, instead of, you know, Chicago architectural tour, it said Camp Wisconsin. And we painted people hanging out of the window, dogs, fishing poles. They will sell you anything in Chicago. Thank you, Chicago, for that. And so we buy it. But that's out of home. And it's memorable. So for the thousands of people taking the tour of Chicago, they will never forget that they sat on a bus where they looked, it said Wisconsin, Wisconsin, Wisconsin. And that's what we have to do, because so many states now have budgets that are 2 times, 3 times, and 4 times bigger than ours.
So our advertising budget is 12.5.
Yes.
And you and I have seen the ads from Michigan, Wyoming, North and South Dakota.
Yes.
Which, if any of those states, are you most afraid of? Because they're doing creative things like us. Which states do you fear from a competition standpoint?
All of them. I fear all of them. And I overcome that fear by a superior product, and two, that we think more outside of the box and we're smarter with our money and we're hungrier. I have a team that really is hungry to be excellent and to do the best work. So Michigan has a $30 million budget compared to my $12.5 million budget. And with that $12.5 million, there's a lot of things I have to do by statute. $1.12 million goes to joint effort marketing grants. We have our welcome centers that get funding, our tourist information center grants, our meetings mean business grants, our sports marketing grants. So by the time I actually get to money to do ad buys, we're looking at $9 million. But now I have to actually create the commercials.
And Michigan's is 30?
It's 30 million, and Illinois' is 54 million. But where we're beating them, I mean, and really where we're whipping them, is earned media. Which is a fancy way of saying free press.
Yes.
We work with travel writers all around the country, all around the world. We wine them. We dine them. We do things really out of the box. We've leveraged the power of celebrity from Jordy Nelson to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to the Zucker brothers. So last year, when the most states, when it comes to tourism, average about $20 million of earned media, our earned media for Wisconsin was $114 million. So you take that money with our $12.5 million budget, and we are winning the game. But we have to work that effectively. We can't ever let up on that.
Of the 19.3, that study, your annual report, breaks it down into major categories.
Yes.
Is the biggest lodging, food and beverage? Talk about the categories.
It is. Number one is lodging, and that's a direct expenditure when you go on vacation. And people oftentimes say, well, what is tourism? Well, tourism is, you know, travel for business or pleasure. So both of those. So lodging is number one. And obviously number two is food. And culinary tourism is seriously on the rise. The whole farm-to-table movement has just taken Wisconsin off the charts. In this last year, we've been featured in the New York Times, the Chicago Tribune, because people are foodies. They love the experience, which is why we went with the whole supper club theme for our new campaign, because it's iconic and truly unique to Wisconsin. And then after that is retail. And retail made a big comeback this last year, about 5.5%. So that was good to see retail come back into the mix.
Let's talk about the supper club theme.
Sure.
Because there is a perception out there that the traditional number of supper clubs is declining. Is that true?
Well, I think the restaurant business is a tough business. So, and one, it depends on how you define supper club, because there are supper club purists which say, you know, that means dinner only and it's got to have these attributes.
Relish tray in the middle, yes.
Exactly. Okay. And then there are people who say, no, supper clubs can be open for lunch. You don't need the relish tray. And so what I know is that there are thousands of supper clubs. Now, if you go by the traditional sense, there are 333 supper clubs in Wisconsin, according to the Wisconsin Restaurant Association. But what's great about it is it makes our state different. You know, when you go to Philadelphia, you want a Philly cheesesteak. When you go to Boston, you want a lobster roll. You know, when you come to Wisconsin, if you have that experience of an iconic supper club and you're overlooking the lake and you're drinking your brandy old-fashioned sweet, it is one of those memories that you will never forget.
While you're on the subject of brandy old fashions,
how do you have one? Please, I could use one.
Not at the moment, but how do you balance the need to, what do the ads say, drink responsibly when you're at the supper club?
Yes.
So you don't want to sell too many brandy old fashions that would result in problems on the roadways, do you?
No.
But how do you balance that?
Well, you know what's been really good is that when you see our commercial, you're going to see an older couple dancing, people laughing, people eating their prime rib. And then you see the brandy old-fashioned being made. So it's all about that balance. And what's been really nice is we are sensitive to everything, whether it's Mothers Against Drunk Driving or, you know, drinking responsibility, responsible. Yeah, hey, I've had a couple myself. We always keep that, you know, at the top of our mind. And so we have literally, I don't think we've had a single phone call about it, which is great.
Of the $19.3 billion, there's $11.9 in direct spending.
Yes.
Well, explain that gap there from 11.9 to 19.3.
Sure, because 19.3 is everything. It's direct spending, indirect, and induced. So direct spending is, hey, you and I are in Beloit, and you're going to stay at the hotel down the street. And that's a direct expenditure. Indirect is that hotel, they have to get their coffee cups from somewhere, and it's a local business that makes them. Mm-hmm. They need some work done with the electrical. It's a business that supports that hotel. That's indirect. And then induced is following to see how people then in the tourism industry are spending their money. So those are the three things, and that's why you'll see the difference. But $11.9 billion, that is the absolute direct person-to-person expense.
Okay, if I'm staying in this Beloit hotel down the street, where do the wages of those that work in that hotel show up? Indirect?
Yes. No.
Induced?
That's induced.
That's induced.
So that's induced, and that's where their wages will show up.
Stephanie, isn't this a pretty inexact science?
It is.
How do you measure? I know tourism hires a company that does the report.
We do.
But what about the methodology? Is it sound?
No, I love that you asked that question, because when I came aboard, they used to use a different company, and I won't say the company's name. And at one time, it was the gold standard. Their economic model was so dated, and I'm no economist, But when it came to movie theaters, we know that here in Beloit, 95% of the people at the movie theater are from Beloit, 5% are guests. Well, they had just the opposite. So we switched to Longwoods International. Longwoods International and Tourism Economics, those two companies, are literally the best. And by that I mean they do the travel expenditures. They use an input-output economic model. Mm-hmm. They use the latest science. The guy who created it, you would really like, his name's Dr. Bill Siegel. And he was watching a CNN news one time, and they were talking about these statistics with tourism. He's like, that's impossible. And he created this company from the ground up because he was so frustrated at one, how inexact it is. And you're never going to have the perfect model. But two, just the liberties that they were taking. So they're considered the best. And what's good for us is Longwoods International, not only do they do tourism expenditures for Ireland, Hawaii, Florida, Dubai, but all of our Midwest competitors, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin use them. So it's comparing apples to apples.
Well, you just named our neighboring states. Which states, our out-of-state visitors come most from Illinois?
Yes.
Well, Iowa?
It's interesting you say that, because we just got some new software literally last week that it's called Arrivalist. It now lets us track who has seen our commercials, whether it's on television or radio, on digital, social. It tracks how they come to Wisconsin and where they're coming from. So number one, our number one out-of-state market.
It's a little big brother, isn't it? Well, go ahead.
It kind of is. It's fascinating, and I'm just learning it, so I can't wait to learn more and be able to talk to you about it a little bit more in depth.
So if an Illinois resident goes to tourism website, and that they can be followed in terms of whether they come to one of our supper clubs?
Yes, and seeing advertising. It's right now, it's so over my head, but it's so exciting. And so we can trace how many days it takes for them from seeing our commercials to getting to Wisconsin. So Chicago is number one by a landslide. But in terms of population, of course they're number one. But percentage-wise, we just learned for the first time it's Minneapolis-St. Paul area that's really number one for us. And what our
in terms of out-of-state tourism visitors?
If you go by percentage,
okay.
Yeah. The numbers of people, obviously Chicago's bigger. Yeah. But our challenge, too, is now Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, have said, wait a minute. We've been ignoring Chicago all these years. So now, in force, they are going after that market. And they're cutting into, you know, some of our, what I like to call our, you know, we own Chicago. And so we're looking at that very closely because we don't want to lose those visitors.
You have been secretary for 5 years, and you've obviously had more fun than anybody. What the biggest changes that you've seen? Is it the emergence of some of these culinary tours? But the biggest changes?
You know what? We could seriously talk about that for hours, everything. So I think right away of international tourism. International tourism was barely on the radar. I mean, minus Canada, Germany, and England have always been really big for Wisconsin. But now everybody's after the Chinese visitor. They spend 2 times more of the money than our European visitors.
How do we rank in terms of Chinese visitors?
Well, Wisconsin isn't ready to host them. We're not. Chinese visitors, usually it's the super affluent that can travel. And they travel because of bragging rights. When they come to a state, and many Chinese visitors look at America as middle-aged. It's very interesting to see how we do a lot of study of it. And so when they come to America, no matter what state they're going to, they expect and demand that they're going to have a tour guide fluent in Mandarin. When they check into their hotel, they'll try American food. But they don't like cold food, and they have to have at least one Chinese meal a day. They like to shop in groups, but if you do forced shopping, like if you're taking a tour and all of a sudden, oh, you end up at a shop, they hate it and they're insulted. They travel very differently than us. And so that's been one challenge for us. Brazil.
Well, let me stop you right there.
Sure, you bet.
Does that mean that in your next budget for the 2017-19 state budget, are you going to ask for a major initiative to make Wisconsin more Chinese friendly?
Well, it's hard because by statute, I market Wisconsin as the premier vacation destination. And so it's very specific and broad. And so and China right now is in a slight recession. I mean, they're slowing. And so they're really hurting. And here's another challenge for us that a lot of people don't think about is direct flights from China to the U.S. We really parlay a lot with Chicago. Because of Chicago's crime the last year and their murder rate, their international tourism has gone down by about 15%. And when they come to Chicago, you know, they're here for 2-3 weeks, up to 6 weeks. So it's great for us because we can get them right into Lake Geneva and heading up to Door County and Milwaukee and off in the Northwoods. So we have felt that with Chicago. And they actually talk about internationally, Chicago, they call it Chirac.
So, but you said Wisconsin isn't ready for a lot more Chinese visitors because we don't have a lot of Mandarin speaking and some of our food issues.
And it's a gross generalization because there are hotels, especially in Milwaukee, like the Marcus properties, they're ready. They're ready. But if we were to go to the Northwoods, which when I think of a quintessential Wisconsin vacation destination, they're probably not ready for the Chinese visitor with somebody who's fluent in Mandarin, plus all their brochures they want in, you know, Mandarin and Chinese as well, because they want to go back and they want to brag. And so they definitely want it in, you know, to show their Chinese friends. And same with the meals, the hospitality. They're a very discriminating visitor. When they check in, they expect the fluffy robes. They want the coupons for the drinks. They're demanding and they get it.
I stopped you to go back to China because you were getting into Brazil. Tell me about Brazil.
Well, Brazil was interesting because for a long time they had a really good economy and Brazilians love to travel. It's like Canadians. Canadians on average take 6 different vacations a year. Yep, and on any given day, they know the value of the dollar.
How often do they come to Wisconsin?
Well, and that is a market we've been going after. So they're good. They're in our top 3. But when our dollar is strong, you can just see it plummet. And for me, when I travel internationally, that's really the only time I know the dollar value compared to other currency. Yeah. You ask a Canadian traveler on any day, what's the dollar ratio? They can tell you. It's just they're like nomads. It's in their blood. But Brazil was really having some good economic times. The government was working with the private sector. And so, again, in tourism, we get wind of that. We go after them. Brazilians love to use cash because if they use a credit card, they have, one, an extremely high rate. And two, not only does the business in Brazil get charged, but so does the person paying the rate. So when they come to America, they will literally travel with 3 empty suitcases and fill them up. But then again, almost unexpectedly, a crash with them as well. Yes. And that's one of the challenges of tourism is we have very limited dollars and you have to say, who are we going after? All right, we're going after China. Well, when are we ready here? Well, if we would have been ready, it would have been bad anyway because they slowed so much with the recession. So we're kind of sticking right now with Germany, England, and Canada.
Well, I want to go back to the definition of tourism. If a Milwaukee resident goes to a Packer game, is she or he a tourist?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Because tourism
Same thing if they go camping in the Northwoods, even though they're residents of the Southeast Wisconsin.
Absolutely. So tourism, a lot of times they look at it as, they define it as 50 miles or more outside of where you live. So for me, every year, my brothers and I, we rent a hotel room at the Ironworks Hotel, and we vacation in Beloit. So that's not counted with any of the travel expenditures.
Because you're not going 50 miles.
Exactly. But that's how they define it, 50 miles or more. And what I can tell you also is that when we have an overnight visitor, they spend 2.5 times more the money than a day tripper.
Are there regional disparities in Wisconsin tourism industries? Northwest Wisconsin versus Northeast Wisconsin versus Southeast Wisconsin versus Southwest Wisconsin? How big are those disparities?
Well, that's an interesting question because, every part of the state offers something spectacular. But where the population is tends to be where people go. So Milwaukee County will always be number one. You know, it's home of the Milwaukee Brewers and the Milwaukee Bucks and the Milwaukee Art Museum. You know, Dane County with a big university, they're always probably going to be number two, Green Bay. So when you have that kind of population base, but a lot of the numbers, once you get to probably number 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you can start to fight for it a little bit differently. Yes. Vilas County is ranked pretty high. Lake Geneva, Walworth County with Chicago is high. Door County literally had such a great year this past year that they went to Jack Moneypenny, who's their CEO and president of the Visitors Bureau, and said, stop advertising. We're full. And so in our industry, probably more than any other industry in the state right now, we have a worker shortage, county by county by county. It's the number one thing I'm hearing right now, because travel is up. Wisconsin is a value destination, which people are looking for. We're so, you know, geographically, we're located perfectly with Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Chicago, even St. Louis. You're going to be here in 5 hours. You know, so it's a great location. It's this huge deal. But I think that's a challenge that everybody's facing around the state.
Do our local chambers and tourism organizations, do they fight? In other words, if I stop at the First Capital in Belmont, I'm not stopping at the Muskie place in Hayward. Is there a regional competition is one thing, but is it mean a nasty competition among some of these locals?
No, I think that's good. First of all, visitors don't see county lines or city lines, and most people in the tourism industry know that. So they know, get them to Wisconsin, get them hooked. And if they're in Belmont, we want them in Hayward. Well, if they like Belmont and they're coming back, then we know, let's get our advertising in that area and reel them in. So at the Department of Tourism, my job is just to advertise Wisconsin as a whole, yeah. And then city by city, county by county, then they have to reel them in.
One, I want to ask you about one thing in the study that said $19.3 billion. How do we measure second home rentals? Because that is up 23% in 5 years. It's up to 6 million. So is this a version, is this a Wisconsin version of Airbnb or something? I mean, how's that measured?
Well, that's a great question, and it's not Airbnb, because that's a whole other conversation for us.
That's a commercial.
Well, in Airbnb, we can't measure, and there's safety issues, and so none of Airbnb expenditures are in that $19.3 billion.
The emergence of Airbnb, good or bad for Wisconsin tourism industry?
Well, right now, the verdict is out, and everyone will tell you that. It's a little bit unfair to hotels that are paying taxes and that have safety codes and all of these things that have to be on par. So it's a battle that's going on not only in Wisconsin, but throughout the country. But the second homes, that's really the Department of Revenue giving us that information.
So owners of second homes are reporting that as income and to the Department of Revenue. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Because some of that is off the books. I mean, people renting to their brother or sister and stuff like that.
It can't be too off the books if it's being reported.
That's true. But I was just intrigued. It's up 23%.
Yes. Well, and that's a big part of advertising, though, that people, again, when we talk about tourism taking for granted, they think, oh, yes, let's just get people to vacation here. But there is a halo effect with tourism. So I know if people like our tourism advertising in Michigan, and then they actually visit here, they're now compounded how they feel about Wisconsin. They went from not, you know, being a little indifferent to liking it to now loving it. So the halo effect is that they're now more likely to retire here or build a second home here or, you know, be a repeat vacationer, go to school here, start a business here. So that halo effect is very real. It's a study that Longwoods International did of 18,000 people, and they really weren't looking for this, but they found it, and it's pretty slick.
Well, I want to ask you about the debate over raising the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
If the minimum wage were raised pretty much statewide, would that hurt the tourism industry?
Well, you know what, I can't answer that question only because it's not my expertise. And minimum wage is a word I've never liked. Minimum, you know, just the term is sad to me. What I find is that 60% of tourism businesses are small family businesses.
Yes.
And those family businesses live by it. And the owners that I have talked to for a period now of 25 years in my different jobs, when they get good employees, they want to keep them. And so minimum wage isn't even in their vocabulary. And when I was on Washington Island last summer with the labor shortage, their minimum wage is very different than the legal minimum wage.
Right.
They're starting employees at $15 an hour.
They have to.
Yes.
To get them.
Yes.
We talked about separate clubs, but I want to ask you about another legendary feature, family-owned resorts in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Are we having fewer of them? Are they being converted to cabin condos or things like that?
Well, you know, this isn't unique to just Wisconsin. So we're always going to be known for our family resorts and iconic resorts, but it's like anything. You know, people are traveling different now. They want high speed. They want to be connected. They want all of these amenities. So part of it is the natural course of where life is taking us. And then some of it is there's challenges because as an area builds up, you know, more people want to live there, yeah. and then you're getting taxed out of your own area. So there is a group in the North Woods, my friend James Boland, who's with the Cable Area Chamber of Commerce, spearheads. And it's a North Woods group that keeps us informed of what's going on and how they can better go with the times and still remain true to who they are.
What you've just said tells me that the lack of broadband in some areas of Wisconsin is a huge issue for even the tourism industry.
It is. It is. People, you know, it's interesting because people are like, I just want to disconnect, but we're so connected every day. And Americans, you know, here in Wisconsin, around the country, last year, 429 million vacation days were not taken. And so when they are taken, people need to be connected. You know, before the recession hit, the U.S. had become the number one hardest working industrialized nation in the world, surpassing Japan at 50 hours a week. Now, that's almost a decade ago. And so people get very nervous about vacations. And so I'm passionate about saying, you got to take that vacation. You got to recharge. You got to relax. You got to create those memories with your family and friends. The job will be there. If you're a good employee, the job will be there. If your employer is a good employer, they're going to know that they need employees who have a balanced life.
Having watched the tourism industry and stirred it and been a big part of it for 5 years, project out the issues over the next 5 years for tourism in Wisconsin.
Well, a lot of it's going to be interesting because some of it will be, you know, just competitive marketing. A lot of it will be at the Department of Tourism. We're mobile. You know, we have our apps and digital. But a lot of times, especially in the smaller resorts, if you're not digital, if I can't go to your website in Saner yeah. and make my reservations and get everything digitally, you're in trouble. So that trend is going to become bigger because people are doing online for everything. So that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay, something like the New Bucks Arena. Is there a tourism side to that debate and that new arena that's coming?
There is, and that is that it will offer an awesome experience and people won't forget it. If you go to this new stadium and it is first class, yeah. you know, and you're seeing a great game, and then if the team's really good and they've been good the last couple of years, it offers that experience, you know. And I know they're looking at cool dining options and different drink options, and then this world-class entertainment center. And that's really what it is, an entertainment center. It's not just a sporting event. And here's something they never talked about. Sporting events, whether it's your kid in soccer or whether it's going to see a Milwaukee Bucks game or a Packer game, during the recession, sports, not only in Wisconsin but around the country, was recession-proof. Not only did it stay even, in most places it still went up as everything plummeted down. So sports marketing is a great thing for the state.
You're soon going to be drafting your proposed 2017-2019 budget. Any new initiatives for the tourism industry to develop it further?
This is probably the first time since I've been here that we're not going to, because the next 2 years we're actually implementing something that just passed, and that's the Frank Lloyd Wright Scenic Trail.
Yep.
And so that's going to be about a 2-year project for us to put together with different signage from Southeast Wisconsin to Southwest Wisconsin. So that initiative is really going to take the next 2 years for us. And before that we had the international an increase in our international marketing budget.
Well, okay. Last question.
Sure.
Limburger cheese. Tell me about Limburger cheese.
Well, Steve, I don't like to brag, but I am the Limburger queen. So 2 years ago for Monroe Cheese Days, Green County's Cheese Days, you know, you talk about tourism. Here's, you know, Monroe, Wisconsin, what is the population? About 16,000, bringing in 100,000 visitors. I love Limburger cheese, and so I kind of had some fun with them.
Where's your sash, Limburger Queen? Go ahead, go ahead.
I actually have a sash.
Okay, I understand.
And I have a Limburger crown.
Okay, excuse me, go ahead.
And flowers with Andy's mints in them. And so I love Limburger cheese. I don't have a good sniffer. So it is delicious to me. To make a long story short, they made me their Limburger Queen. Well, we took that and ran with it, and next thing, I was featured in the Chicago Tribune and the New York Times because it's so different and crazy. And this year at the Cheese Days Parade, I have a TravelWisconsin.com float with the Limburger Queen. Oh, I got myself a throne. I have a throne.
Where do you get all these ideas like to wrap a Chicago bus stop?
Well, you know, I have a great team. We're creative, and we enjoy a few beverages after work and talking and letting the ideas fly.
You have a lot of fun.
I do.
And you've seen tremendous growth.
Yes.
And tourism in Wisconsin is going to keep growing, subject to fuel prices, gas prices, or no?
Yeah, a A little bit, but even then, when they were very high, we had a banner year and we're up almost $1 billion. But we need to have good weather. Yeah. That's important. We can't predict it.
Okay. Tourism Secretary Stephanie Klatt in your hometown of Beloit.
Yay!
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's so great having you here. Thank you.
Thank you.